Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
LaVine with a runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine!
Find that man every time.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
It's Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text to voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans. 331-979-1369 is that number. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Well, happy Friday, Bulls fans. We are now officially 1 week away from the Bulls' first preseason game of the 2021 season. Woo! Man, I am getting crazy excited. I feel like I could run through a brick wall right now. Jordan got called in to cover somebody's shift at 670 The Score today. So you got me leading you into the weekend. I figured I would hold off on my in-depth reaction to the press conference availabilities for the Zoom media week we got yesterday. That of both the rookie Patrick Williams and incoming third-year center Wendell Carter Jr. Some really interesting things that we heard from them, but I wanted to wait for Jordan to get back with me on Monday to give you guys our in-depth thoughts and also share some of the audio we got from those guys. And in the meantime, would continue to just knock out as much mailbag content as we can. Jordan and I went through a bunch of the voicemails you guys sent us over the past week or so in yesterday's episode. Still plenty of text messages and some interesting topics that I wanted to get to on today's show, including perhaps the latest on a potential James Harden trade out of Houston after in the aftermath of Westbrook and Wall swapping teams, and what might the Bulls be able to offer Houston for those Bulls fans who might be looking to bring a superstar of Harden's caliber here to Chicago. Also, with all the ever-changing roles in the coaching staff in the front office, we had somebody in our text line curious as to what exactly the status of the Bulls' strength and conditioning and medical staff is. So I'm going to give you guys a rundown of how exactly that sits as of today as far as the Bulls' strength and conditioning and medical staffs, and some other interesting things in our text line as well. So all that being said, I did just want to quickly touch on Wendell for a second. And as I said, Jordan and I will get more into this at the beginning of next week. It was just so refreshing. Just like everything has been recently, I feel like I've been using that word a lot because it's so different than the stale, monotonous losing that this fan base has been subjected to over the past few years of this rebuild that's gone nowhere. So Wendell is a guy that I think Bulls fans feel very differently on as far as what is his floor, what is his ceiling, and what we might expect from him this upcoming season. But simply, I was just excited to hear Wendell's positivity in his interview. He just seemed like a guy who is first and foremost excited about being healthy after some nagging injuries really put a damper on his first 2 years in the league. And, you know, he set a goal to be available for all 72 games this season and knows that he'll need to be available for the majority of the season, if not the whole season, to take those next steps in his game. But what we heard from Donovan about Wendell is that this is what Donovan said. I think there's a lot of different things he can do. I think he could be a facilitator for us. I think he's got very good vision. He's a good passer for a big man. And also, Donovan talked about Wendell being put in positions where he can stretch his range. Wendell echoed those thoughts when he took the mic himself. And here's what Wendell said. He watched film on us and saw how versatile, the potential of me being versatile on the court. He actually came to me and told me that he wants me to be more interchangeable. I think that's a good thing. Wendell continued saying he wants me to play a lot from the trail position, catching it at the free throw line, making my decisions there, possibly attacking the rim, going from there, or going dribble hand off, pick and pop, playing from there, playing out of the dunker spot. I mean, it's just, it's incredible to just hear all of this basketball talk. And Wendell saying, yeah, these are things that Donovan has talked to me about. Because I think those Bulls fans who believed in Wendell, looking at his tape at Duke, have just been so disappointed by his lack of involvement in this team's offense through his first two seasons. And yes, it's hard to do that if he can't stay on the floor, but this past season especially, it looked like Wendell was afraid. It looked like he was either afraid or confused or both. Whenever he got his hands on the ball, when the Bulls were running their joke of an offense. And I think the best thing that I heard from Wendell is that he's recognizing that Donovan watched the tape on Wendell. Donovan is a guy who clearly came in and did his homework right away and saw the ways in which Wendell limited himself last season. And here's my favorite thing that we heard from Wendell about what he has done interacting with Donovan so far. After watching some of the film from last year, I saw that I was being very passive, and even talking to some of the coaching staff, they told me, man, we're better off with you going up and missing instead of you passing out from inside the restricted area to the three. It was kind of a conversation I had to have. Now that I know I need to go up, I can definitely do that. End quote. So refreshing to hear that from Wendell, because how many times last season did Bulls fans just shake their heads when Wendell got the ball around the basket or even at the elbow, even at the free throw line, and didn't even look to score. Didn't put the ball on the floor, didn't look to get anything going in the post. And even if he like got an offensive rebound, instead of going back up with it, he would try and kick it out because, oh, well, I'm guessing Jim Boylan was ramming it through his skull every day, kick it out to our three-point shooters, even though the team didn't have any three-point shooters. It was infuriating. So Wendell's not going to become a more dominant force and a threat as an interior scorer as long as he's kicking the ball out. He's got to develop that element to his game. And yes, we can also be optimistic that he'll build his game out under Billy Donovan. Wendell said in his press conference with the Zoom media yesterday that he spent a lot of time in the offseason working on his shot. You know, Bulls fans saw that 40-plus percentage behind the three-point line at Duke, but that's the college three-point line, and he has shot not even 20% in his limited attempts at the NBA level so far. That part of his game that we were hoping for just has not existed. But I think he's going to get the green light under Billy Donovan the way that he did not at all have the green light under Jim Boylan. Jim Boylan, obsessed with looks at the rim and obsessed with chucking a bunch of threes, but not you, Wendell. I don't know if it was Wendell's lack of confidence or Jim Boylan's instruction. We saw no attempt from Wendell to expand that range of his game last season. None. So lots of encouraging things here in Wendell's remarks. But, I mean, I think the best of it all was his comment about Billy Donovan simply just putting his players in a position to succeed. Because that is what Bulls fans were so frustrated with all of last season. And I don't think it was Wendell taking a cheap shot at Jim Boylan. I think Wendell is too classy and too mature to do something like that. You know, just like Zach's comments about the fresh air and the optimism of having a new front office and a new coaching staff and them listening to him and being more easily accessible was something that was different. I don't think that was necessarily a shot at Jim Boylan or the old front office. These guys are just excited for a fresh start. And how many times did we look at what the Bulls were doing or being forced to do under Boylan and say, this is not working. Change something. This system that Jim insisted on installing on the offensive end is not working because you don't have the personnel to do it. So for the love of God, try something different. And no, night in and night out, the same shit that failed. And Wendell saying something as simple as, yeah, I'm really excited to have this coach and this new coaching staff that's going to, you know, cater our system to, you know, me and my teammates' strengths. What a novel idea. What a brilliant concept. So, as I said, Jordan and I will continue to break down everything that Wendell and Patrick Williams said in their media availability starting off next week. But I just wanted to give some of my initial thoughts on that because it was just the latest piece of fresh air. Wendell just looking and sounding like a player who's totally ready and refreshed to come in and try this again with a new system and is someone who is already very clearly jiving with Billy Donovan and his staff. It's encouraging stuff right now as we have reached the end of week one of training camp for the Chicago Bulls. With that, let us get to our mailbag inbox. So, the 570 kicks us off saying, the post-Westbrook trade reaction on Houston. What's the best offer we can theoretically offer to them for James Harden? OPJ and Zach and draft picks to start. I could see myself warming up to this, but not getting any false hope. Thanks. And then a follow-up saying this stands for Beal as well. So let's start with Harden. I think Beal we can touch on a little bit, but obviously Harden, I think, is the more pressing matter right now because it sounds like the Rockets are just stripping everything away and are getting ready to start over. And they're not starting over with a lot of assets because clearly they've just been mortgaging their future to try to get this done now, and they fell short. And it's interesting to see that according to pretty reliable sources, the only reason we saw this Westbrook for John Wall trade go down a couple days ago is because Westbrook told his agent to go to Houston and get it done. You know, we'd also heard things about how Westbrook didn't want to play in Houston anymore because he was not a fan of ownership, didn't like certain political leanings of the Houston Rockets ownership group, and that is certainly understandable. And we haven't heard much on the Harden front about him going to, you know, the Rockets and saying, you know, figure out a way to get me to Brooklyn, trade me to Brooklyn. I want to go play with KD and Kyrie. Durant kind of closed the door on those rumors or at least denied them in some of his comments this week, saying like that was made up and he hadn't really talked to Harden about that at all. We're also getting other reports about Harden, you know, reporting to Rockets camp this week. So who knows what's going on there and whether or not the Rockets will, in fact, just get what they can for Harden and start completely over. If they are still interested in doing that, and our texter is wondering what it would cost to get Harden, and our texter suggests Otto and Zach and draft picks. Yes. I mean, you know, that's certainly it if you're talking about the amount of money on Harden's deal and matching that. The Rockets would probably at least want the young, talented star, borderline star like Zach that could still have, obviously several years of his prime ahead of him, but maybe even a year or two of improvement reaching his prime. And the picks part is clearly the most important. Because picks obviously means picks plural. Yes. What kind of picks, plural? Several first-round draft picks. And, I mean, it's crazy that, at least in my opinion, the Rockets got one protected first-round pick along with John Wall for Russell Westbrook. It just goes to show you how desperate the Rockets were to resolve that issue, and maybe also a sign of just how much of an overpay Westbrook is as he reaches his declining years as a player who relies on his athleticism to be as good as he is. And no knock on him, you know, an all-NBA selection just this past season. And the fact that John Wall is a complete question mark right now. Haven't seen him play in forever, and he is no spring chicken himself. So I think that was just kind of two desperate teams, and otherwise you might have seen more picks being exchanged. But Harden is clearly, at this point in his career, more valuable than Russell Westbrook. I don't think anybody would debate that. And when you look at the insane haul of picks that New Orleans just got in the Drew Holiday trade, sending Drew Holiday to Milwaukee, is that your jumping off point when you're talking about how many first round picks James Harden commands? Because, and yes, the extraneous pieces of the trades would be different, and Zach LaVine is certainly worth a considerable amount as a trade piece in his own right. But I mean, if Drew Holiday is worth that many first round picks, how many first round picks is James Harden worth? 7? 8? It's crazy to think about. And again, whereas maybe the Houston-Washington trade was desperate teams trying to resolve a situation, and maybe, you know, the Wizards got away with an underpay for Westbrook services. And similarly, but also somewhat different, the Bucks were willing to give up a ridiculous haul of first-round draft capital because they were in a desperate position to bring in a veteran star caliber player to help that team reach its championship goals in order to convince Giannis to sign the Supermax extension to stay. You know, there's context everywhere you look with these trades, but if the Bulls are trying to get Harden, Otto Zach, and I would guess at least 3 future firsts, I think it would start there. And then, of course, you talk about what kind of protections and layers of protections would exist on those future draft picks. But as good as Zach is, and as much as if healthy, Otto can be a useful piece, he's on an expiring deal. So it would be like, well, if Houston actually wanted to keep him, they would have to resign him, or they would just like to get his money as an expiring deal off their books. I think Zach and 3 firsts. I don't think Zach and 2 would be enough. I mean, we're talking about James freaking Harden. So I don't know. If our texter thinks that that's about right, too much, not enough, be interested to hear his thoughts or yours. So hit us up if you have any thoughts on what you'd be willing to part with to get James Harden here to Chicago. 331-979-1369. Moving along. Speaking of Zach LaVine, 631 asks, "Hey guys, have a quick question for you and Zach LaVine. Why is it that when media talks about Zach, it's almost about how he doesn't fit into AK's design for a team? Why do we forget that Zach's skill set is pretty similar to Jamal Murray's, and his stats are even better per 36? Lastly, why is it that Zach doesn't get the same type of love that Murray and Donovan Mitchell have gotten? Both are incredibly talented players, and they both deserve praise, but LaVine is just as good as both those guys. If they are worth max contracts, then LaVine probably is too. Would like to get your guys' take on this." And then our texter sent us some screenshots of the per 36 comps of Zach alongside Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray. And I was surprised. Honestly, I would have guessed that Murray and Mitchell would have had better per 36 numbers than Zach, but per 36 this past season. Donovan Mitchell, 25.2 points. Zach, 26.4. Pretty similar field goal percentage. 38% from downtown for Zach, 36.6 for Donovan Mitchell. Inside the three-point line, 49.7 for Zach, 49.4 for Mitchell, nearly identical. 80 at the free throw line for Zach, 86 for Donovan Mitchell. Pretty similar in rebounds, almost identical in assists. Zach actually did better in steals and blocks per 36 and was a little heavier on the turnovers than Mitchell. And then Jamal Murray, Zach outscored him per 36, 26.4 to 20.6. I was shocked to see that per 36 for Jamal Murray. Seems really low. Field goal percentage, pretty much identical overall, 45 for Zach, 45.6 for Murray. Zach, a few points better behind the three-point line. Jamal Murray, a couple points better and more efficient inside the three-point line. And Jamal Murray, much more deadly at 88% from the free-throw line. And again, similar assists, similar rebounds, and almost identical steals and blocks. But again, Jamal Murray, significantly fewer turnovers. So maybe it is the cleanliness in which Murray and Mitchell were primary ball handlers for their teams. You know, Zach certainly turned the ball over a lot this past season, and it's because he was asked to do a lot. But some of that is on Zach. But here's the big thing. And it's, you know, it's something that Jordan and I feel like talked about not all that long ago on a recent episode. The simplest answer to our Texas question, winning. I mean, the playoff series between Denver and Utah in the bubble was one of the most exciting playoff series we've seen in recent years. And it was game after game where Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell, one or the other or both, were dropping 40, 50-point games in a playoff of atmosphere. Well, not a playoff atmosphere because there were no fans, but a playoff setting. That's something that Zach has never done. Flat out. Those young stars led their teams to impressive playoff performances. Winning teams in the more difficult conference. That means a hell of a lot. Now, as far as our texter's point about if those guys are worth max contracts, LaVine is too. I don't entirely disagree with you in that I think Zach LaVine is underpaid and on a very team-friendly contract right now, making less than $20 million per year. But is he a max contract guy? I don't think so. The other thing you have to consider is that Mitchell and Murray are both young guys who were eligible for max extensions to stay with the teams that, you know, that drafted them. And those teams are continuing to invest in what they, you know, have spent time developing. Zach came over in a trade and the Bulls matched a contract he got as a restricted free agent and ended up working great for the Bulls as far as the value that they're getting from him. But Zach hasn't gotten to a point in his career like Mitchell and Murray to say, okay, well, the common sense next step is this young rising star is getting a max deal to stay with us because we don't want to lose him. That hasn't presented itself to Zach because when Zach was a free agent after his first NBA contract, he was a guy coming off an ACL tear who had only played, 26 games for his new team? That's not a guy you sign to a max contract. He was showing some promise. His best scoring season of his career in his last season in Minnesota before tearing the ACL, so there was some promise, but it's still a guy coming off an ACL tear. That's not a guy you sign a max contract to. There are differences there. And again, y'all that listen to this podcast know how much Jordan and I appreciate and respect everything that Zach has done and is doing for this team. But to say that he's on the same level of Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell, he might have an edge on them in some stat categories in per 36. And you're not necessarily wrong to bring that up. And you caught me by surprise. But that doesn't mean he's more valuable or as valuable. Thanks for the text, though. Always appreciate it when somebody brings something to our attention that I was not aware of. And those Mitchell and Murray stats were certainly enlightening. Okay, as promised, we have to get into some Bulls staff conversation. The 269 asks us, with all the new coaches coming in, any word on if the Bulls have made any changes to the training and medical staff? It seems like the past few seasons we've been saying that we see some potential, then Lowry and Zach and Otto, etc., you know, all play together, but we hardly ever see it because we've seen so many injuries to this roster. I know injuries aren't something you can completely avoid, but I'd love to see the Bulls try to do something to make improvements here. Any thoughts? Thanks for checking in. So Jordan and I did, I think, spend maybe just a segment on an episode back in late September when the team made an official announcement. Weeks before that, we learned that they were, when the deadline was up on the decision for his contract extension, the new front office declined to extend longtime Bulls head athletic trainer Jeff Tanaka. And I think most Bulls fans were perfectly okay with him being shown the door when we've seen some pretty frustrating stuff over the past several years. So after the dismissal of Jeff Tanaka, on September 29th, the Bulls officially announced the hiring of the new head athletic trainer, Todd Campbell. Campbell is a guy with more than 16 years of NBA experience in athletic training and physical therapy. He had spent the previous three seasons with the New Orleans Pelicans and decreased that team's number of games lost due to injury over his tenure with the team. He started his career as an intern at Northeastern University with like a volunteer job with the Boston Celtics. That was all the way back in 2002. In 2004, he was hired by the Celtics as an assistant physical therapist, and then stayed with the Celtics through most of that decade and was a part of the team's medical staff when they won the NBA title in 2008 and again went to the finals in 2010. Has some experience also working in collegiate athletics at Brown University and Harvard, and also did some athletic training for the ice hockey Northern Cyclones junior team of Hudson, New Hampshire. Also, this is a cool little anecdote in his official announcement on the Bulls page. Worked with a number of famous musicians as a trainer, including the band Aerosmith, who he went on tour with in the summer of 2009. Crazy stuff there. So that is the Bulls' new head athletic trainer, Todd Campbell. Plenty of years of NBA experience and a great fresh start. But I was curious to see, based on our texter's question, if any other new hires in that department had come along and we just didn't really catch wind of them because there wasn't an official announcement or the Bulls just kind of did it under the radar, because we had kind of seen a couple examples of that, including when they hired their international scouting consultant, Vanya Chernovic. Apologies if I think I'm pronouncing that right, Chernovic, as well as some of the other, like, you know, fringe hires of their staff. So I went and checked out the team directory, and as of right now, unless they haven't updated their website, but everything else has been updated, including some of the most recent hires, like their player development coordinators that were just announced a week or so ago, as well as the entirety of Billy Donovan's assistant coaching staff. All has been updated on the team's staff directory on the Bulls website. So other people related to strength and conditioning and the athletic and the medical staff, Todd Campbell's name has been added as a head athletic trainer. Underneath him, the assistant athletic trainer, Arnold Lee, that is not a new name. Arnold Lee has been with the Bulls for several years. He was the head athletic trainer for the Windy City Bulls from 2016 to 2017. Prior to that, was the athletic trainer for Kennedy King College. He got his start working in athletic sciences as a bachelor degree of science from the U of I at Chicago back in 2010. Then went and got his master's at California Baptist, and then the job at Connecticut College, then the Windy City Bulls, and then was promoted in 2017 to the position of assistant athletic trainer underneath Jeff Tanaka. So it looks as though the Bulls have retained Arnold Lee as their assistant athletic trainer under the new head athletic trainer, Todd Campbell. Moving along, Director of Performance Health, that's a very familiar name that older Bulls fans will know. Chip Schaefer, who was with the team during the dynasty years, left for a while and has since returned. Chip Schaefer, according to the team's staff directory, still the Director of Performance Health. Head Strength and Conditioning Coach, Matthew Johnson. Again, this is a familiar name and not a new name. So, assuming that this staff directory is accurate and up to date, that is somebody who has not been replaced. Matthew Johnson started with the Bulls in 2012 as a strength and conditioning intern, promoted in 2013 to assistant strength and conditioning coach, and then promoted again in 2016 to the head strength and conditioning coach. So that is Matt Johnson, currently listed as the team's head strength and conditioning coach. That is a holdover from the previous regime. And his assistant strength and conditioning coach, Jeffrey Pulls, another name that has been with the Bulls for several years. Jeffrey Pulls was the Bulls' assistant strength and conditioning coach from November 2011 to August 2012, then left the team to head up strength and conditioning at the University of Notre Dame until 2017. In 2017, returned to the Bulls in their strength and conditioning program. So he is listed currently as the assistant strength and conditioning coach under Matt Johnson. So two holdovers of the old regime. And physical therapist Michael Orr, and no, not that Michael Orr, the offensive line from the movie The Blind Side, different Michael Orr. Michael Orr has been the Chicago Bulls team physical therapist since September 2016. So, another longtime member of the Bulls strength, conditioning, and medical staff. That's everybody. That is everybody that's listed on the Bulls staff directory in relation to medical and training staff and strength and conditioning. So the one new hire would be Todd Campbell, the new head athletic trainer who replaces the recently dismissed Jeff Tanaka. Is that enough of a turnover to satisfy Bulls fans? I'm not sure. I think for the most part, and I know my buddy Big Dave from Outsiders was more ready than anyone to see Tanaka move along. There are certain things about Tanaka that frustrated him. I know that I think he frustrated a lot of fans in some of the moments we saw from him that lacked certain urgency, shall we say, when Bulls players were injured and writhing in pain on the court, and Tanaka was taking his sweet-ass time to go address whatever the injury was. You know, obviously, we were just talking at the beginning of the show about how Wendell is one of many Bulls players hopeful to be a bit available for all 72 games this season. And a team that has dealt with so many injuries over the past couple of years that's prevented, as our texter mentioned, some of the key pieces of this rebuilding roster to be on the floor together for long enough to develop any kind of cohesion and chemistry. Lowry, Wendell, Zach, especially coming off the ACL, Chris Dunn before his recent departure, injuries to keep pieces everywhere. And of course, also Otto, since he came over in the trade, a very important piece of the Bulls starting five that has not often been available. I mean, I think the only two Bulls players who were available for all their 65 games this past season were Satoransky and Archie. So, of course, we're hoping for a healthy season ahead of us. I don't know if the hiring of Todd Campbell, the retention of some of the holdovers in the strength and conditioning staff and the medical staff from the past regime will make a difference. Maybe the Bulls will have a little bit better luck. Some of the injuries suffered to key players were kind of freak injuries. But so there it is for you. A complete rundown of everybody in the Bulls staff directory in that area of the team's injury versus health management. Which I had been meaning to check in on because, you know, I remember the announcement on Todd Campbell, but I hadn't yet gone and looked to see if they had made any other sneaky hires in that department. But it looks like other than him, everybody else remains from the previous staff before the arrival of AK and his crew. All right, one more quick one, and then we'll get out of here and hope all y'all have a great weekend. This one comes to us from the 630. Hey guys, been thinking about something you've been saying with the max contracts not wanting to come out, the max contract guys not wanting to come without Zach here. I don't think Zach is the selling point. I feel the better route to a max free agent is trading Zach for basically no money and focusing on picks and letting Lowry walk to make the space for two max slots in 2021. Then try and sell the free agents on coming here to play with someone of their choosing. Could even use Zach for a sign and trade of a superstar. Let me know what you guys think. Thanks for checking in. I don't hate this idea, quite honestly. You know, you're right. Jordan and I have talked about Zach being a guy who could potentially recruit free agents to come play here with him, and that that hasn't been a step that he's been able to accomplish yet because he hasn't really gotten in the room. You know, that All-Star weekend when a lot of those conversations go down, USA Basketball, where a lot of those conversations go down. Zach has kind of been an outsider to all that. And I do agree with our texter that it seems more and more in the last few years what players want, and of course Kyrie and Durant is the latest example, is to be able to go play where they want to play together to a team that has the cap space to accommodate signing both of them to max contracts. Now, with assuming Otto and Felicio coming off the books, and then, you know, little extra pieces here and there, Satoransky's deal is only partially guaranteed in year three. Same thing with Thad Young, Cornette coming off the books. All of that, and the Bulls, even with keeping Zach LaVine, have plenty of money projected against the 2021 salary cap. They have space nearly or just barely without trading Zach to sign two max players next summer. It's a question of convincing two stars to come play here together. So, yes, I'm all for the idea of having that space so that you can accommodate two stars that want to play together. The Kyrie KD strategy, the Paul George Kawhi strategy, although that, you know, involved the you know, the Paul George trade, but that is, you know, LeBron and AD. That's what players want in the NBA right now. They want to not only pick where they want to play, but they want to pick who they want to play with where they want to play. And yeah, Chicago has not been a destination in recent years. Hasn't been a destination really ever when talking about attracting the max free agents. Sniffed around the big three in 2010, missed out. Sniffed around Melo a few years later, missed out. Haven't done it. Don't talk to me about Ben Wallace or Pau Gasol. No disrespect to either of those two. It's not the same thing. Will a new front office, a well-liked and respected coach, a player's coach like Billy Donovan, be enough to entice two of the big free agent names a year from now to come to the United Center and take some meetings, hear a pitch? I sure hope so. But I don't think it would require trading Zach LaVine to do it. If it does, but it means the Bulls getting a superstar and a star, great, cool, thanks for everything, Zach. Wish you nothing but the best. But the Bulls are already looking to have such clean books a year from now. And I honestly think that's one of the things that AK liked when he was being pitched this job. Clean books a year from now. So we'll see how that goes. Thank you so much to everybody for texting in. And if you missed it yesterday, Jordan and I did an episode that was a bunch of voicemails. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and give that a listen as well. And in the meantime, keep them coming. Your Bulls thoughts, your Bulls questions and comments, anything else NBA related. We need it. We love it. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. And again, thank you to everybody who's been sharing with us your screenshots of Locked On Bulls being in your Spotify, whatever it's called, year wrap or whatever. It's crazy. It's crazy to see how much you guys enjoy listening to this podcast, because we promise you, we enjoy making it just as much as you guys enjoy listening to it. And we appreciate all of you. Hope you all have a great, great weekend, and we will come back on Monday, 3 days closer to the Bulls preseason debut in the 2020-21 season. Can't wait. We'll miss you all till then. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. From my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck, saying thanks to our sponsor for today's show, Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com for a 20% discount on your next order. Thanks for listening. See you next time.